as I mentioned, today is Litare Sunday, which is a Sunday that means rejoice. We take a little break here in the middle of Lent, and so I thought maybe for the homily today I would change things up a little bit and maybe steer away from our normal Lenten fare of death and judgment and sin and hell, and maybe we'll talk about something a little bit different. I think what's on all of our minds for this upcoming week is the upcoming conclave and the election of our new Holy Father. So I thought maybe we could talk a little bit today about that. So many times you see in the media that they report on what's going on, and one thing that becomes perfectly clear when the media report on the church, it's got to be the only time that they never even ask anybody to clarify what is actually happening, because they always seem to get it wrong. Now, if you watch EWTN, you will get great coverage this week. But I wanted to explain a little history about how we got to this point of electing the Pope. You know, it's actually a fairly recent kind of thing that, as we know today, all the cardinals get together in a conclave, and they vote, and we announce a new Pope. Throughout history, and remember, this is a 2,000-year-long history for popes, it didn't necessarily start out that way. In fact, it wasn't until the 12th century that voting for the Pope was even reserved to the cardinals. Throughout history, various means had been used to choose the Pope, and especially when the Pope had a big kingdom, the Papal States, and everything that he had to rule over, it's not surprising that the other countries tried to influence who would be Pope. And because of a lot of the politics that went into it, you know, there are some kind of scandalous years in which the election of the Pope was influenced by bribery and threats and blackmail, and not surprising, we got some kind of scoundrel popes out of all that. Now, fortunately, those days are largely behind us, but it is interesting to note that the whole idea of a conclave is a fairly recent one in the history, too. You see, even after we had the cardinals electing the Pope, the traditional way that it was done was that when the Pope died, you know, that the cardinals would get together, which in itself could take a long time for them all to get to Rome. And then, in various points, they went off to a different city even to elect the Pope. Most famous of this was the conclave or the election of 1268. It was held in Viterbo, Italy, which is only a little ways outside Rome. But the interesting thing about this is when all the cardinals go to the city of Viterbo, you know, they show up and they're like, okay, we need a place to meet. And so the townspeople are very generous and honored to have them in their town, and they give them a nice palace that the cardinals can meet in, and they feed them. And it doesn't take too long before the cardinals decide, you know, we kind of like this conclave thing. We'll just kind of drag it out. And so they weren't in much hurry to elect a pope, and in fact, this election of 1268 went on until 1271. It lasted almost 3 years to elect a new pope because the cardinals were having a great time. You know, they're probably swimming in the afternoon, you know, tennis in the morning, and it didn't take long before the townspeople said, hey, wait a minute, this was all well and good, you know, 3 years ago, but don't you think it's time that you actually elect a pope and move on with this, you know? And so what they actually had to do was they took and they literally locked the cardinals into a room and said, we're not giving you food until you elect a pope. Now, in Latin, the word for key is claves. And so cum clave, conclave, literally means in Latin, with a key. They locked him in the room and said, we're not letting you out until you elect a pope. And that still wasn't enough. So they actually started to remove part of the roof so that it was raining on the cardinals. And finally, they had to decide, okay, we'll elect a pope. And after 3 years, they finally did that. So it didn't take long for the next pope to figure out, I think we need to have the conclave model be the way going forward. No more 3 years of electing a pope. And so they decided that would be the new model. Now, it wasn't always the Sistine Chapel. Today, we know that beginning on Tuesday, we'll see all the cardinals gather, and they will go into the Sistine Chapel, and in fact, they will close and lock the doors. Now, the cardinals have it pretty good today. They've got a special little hotel built for them in the Vatican, and so they'll go back and forth. They're not stuck in the Sistine Chapel, but they are not allowed to communicate with the world. They take their cell phones, and today they take their iPads, which It's probably really driving the American Cardinals crazy. They like their iPads and they're tweeting, and they had to cut off their press conferences, and they're not allowed to read newspapers or books. And this all goes back to the time that outside influence, you know, really would have a play on the Cardinals. You know, someone slips a note, hey, you better vote for this guy or else. The Cardinals are all isolated, not talking to anyone, not reading who the popular picks are in the news, and they vote by secret ballot. Give you a little rundown of the Cardinals and what to expect from this week. There are a couple terms that you need to know to kind of follow what's going on. The first of these is to know that within the order of Cardinals, there are different ranks. Now, everyone who is a Cardinal, nowadays anyway, is a priest. It didn't used to be that way. A Cardinal could be anybody that the Pope named as his trusted advisor and gave him the title of Cardinal. Cardinal is not a level of holy orders, so a bishop is as high as you go in holy orders. The Pope himself is the Bishop of Rome. But the Pope does choose to honor certain prelates by making them his trusted kind of advisors, and those he calls cardinals. Most of the time, the cardinals are bishops, either working for the Curia in Rome, or like Cardinal Dolan, he's the Archbishop of New York. Sometimes the Pope will name cardinals who aren't bishops, like of happy memory here in the United States, Cardinal Avery Dulles was a priest who, because of his great theological mind, was named a cardinal, but he was not a bishop. Today, most cardinals are bishops. But what you're going to hear is that there are three different levels of the College of Cardinals. There are cardinal bishops, cardinal priests, and cardinal deacons. Now, it has nothing to do with their level in holy orders, believe it or not. The cardinal deacons, most of them are all actually bishops. But there's these three orders of the cardinals, and it only really matters because you'll hear this division. There are six cardinal bishops. They are really, really important bishops that all of them work in the Curia and assist the Holy Father. Most of the cardinals are what are known as cardinal priests. And then there's a few that are cardinal deacons. We'll talk about why the cardinal deacons are important in a minute. But just remember, there are three levels of cardinals. The big things you're going to want to watch on TV this week. Okay, the cardinals have been meeting, all of them together in meetings for the last week. There are currently 207 active living cardinals. Okay, only the ones under 80 get to vote for the Pope. And so they are known as cardinal electors. Not all of the 207 cardinals came to Rome, but all of the elector cardinals are there, save two. Two of the 117 electors said, we're not coming. One is sick, and the other, for personal reasons, says he's not coming. So there are 115 cardinals of the 207 that will be in the Sistine Chapel. What's going to be really neat is on Tuesday, after they finished all their meetings called General Congregations, on Tuesday morning, they move into their special hotel in the Vatican called the House of St. Martha, Casa Santa Marta. And that morning, they will pray, and then there will be a big mass for the whole church called the Mass for the Election of the Pope. Everyone is invited to watch that. It'll be about 4 a.m. on EWTN, because it's early Rome time in the morning. If you can't make it on TV, note that here at Curia of Ars Parish on Tuesday, each of our three regular scheduled daily masses, we are going to celebrate that same special mass for the election of the Pope. So one thing you can do, I encourage you to come to Mass on Tuesday, either 6:30, 8:15 in the morning, or 5:30 in the evening, and we're going to celebrate the Mass for the election of the Pope. You can also watch it live from Rome in the morning. That afternoon, so it'll be late morning our time, they will go to the Apostolic Palace, where the Pope lives, and they all gather in what is known as the Pauline Chapel, and there they pray. And then there's a big, beautiful procession through what's called the Sala Regia into the Sistine Chapel. All the major networks will carry this procession. They go in, and each of the cardinals then swears a special oath that they will not talk at all or forever about the specifics of what goes on in the conclave. Again, that's so that no one can influence them. They will place their right hand on the book of the Gospels and swear before God that they will not reveal what goes on in the conclave. After that, you'll see the papal master of ceremonies, which is the one job in Rome that I'd kind of like to have. You get to be everywhere the Pope is, but with none of the responsibility. But the papal master of ceremonies then declares extra omnes, everybody else out. And at that moment, they will shut the doors of the Sistine Chapel, and that'll be the last of the cardinals we will see until a pope is elected. The way it works inside the Sistine Chapel is really kind of interesting. You would think, at least I thought before the last conclave, that, you know, there would be debate. Like they'd talk, I think this guy should be pope, and no, I think it should be this guy, and here's why. It turns out there's actually no talking in the Sistine Chapel. It's like a big retreat. All they do is pray. Cardinal George was at the last conclave, obviously, and he was the Archbishop of Chicago, where I went to seminary. So he came back and he told us, I was kind of surprised, you know, in the conclave there's no talking. All we do is vote. I prayed my rosary the whole time, he said. All they do is they write down the name of the person who says, I think this person should be pope. And they go up and they put it on a special golden paten. They say a special prayer right before Michelangelo's last judgment, where they say, as God is my witness, I am saying this is the person I believe should be pope. And they tip their ballot in. And then the kind of fun part for the people outside, you might have seen yesterday that they installed the chimney on top of the Sistine Chapel. You can see it from St. Peter's Square. What they do is, after the ballots have been counted, either someone's gotten two-thirds of the votes and we have a pope, or we don't. They take the ballots and they burn them, so no one can see the vote totals. If no one is elected pope, in history anyway, they put wet straw with the ballots so that it would make black smoke. If someone had been elected pope, they used dry straw, which made white smoke, and hence the people in St. Peter's Square could know from the color of the smoke, was a pope elected or not. Now, in point of fact, the smoke was always kind of gray, so it was hard to tell. So with the last conclave, they added the little bit that when it's white smoke, they will ring the bells of St. Peter's. So you will hear the bells ringing, and if I'm here, I will ring the bells of Kyrie of Ars Church, and hopefully all the bells in the city, we will all ring to say that there is a new pope. After that, the cardinals all pledge their allegiance to the new pope, and then comes the moment that you're kind of going to want to watch on TV. And you have to pay attention, because what happens is they're going to probably burn the ballots twice a day. There are actually four votes each day, two in the morning, two in the evening, but they're only going to burn the ballots after both votes. So, about noon Rome time and 7 p.m. Rome time is when the smoke should go up. We are 6 hours difference from Rome, so keep that in mind. They did not spring forward like we did this weekend, so it's now 6 hours. It was seven, now it's six. So about 6 a.m. our time, or 1 p.m. our time, would be time to watch for smoke on TV. If someone would be elected on the first ballot, it could be as early as 4:30 a.m. So here's what you do. You get yourself an iPhone or an Android, and there's an app called Pope Alarm. And I'm signed up, and what it is guaranteed to do is to send me a text message, alarm, as soon as the white smoke goes up. So if it's 4:30 in the morning, I'm going to have this thing going off like a fire alarm in my room so I can run to my TV, because here's the part you don't want to miss. About 40 minutes or so after the white smoke, the Pope is going to come out to the big center loggia of blessings, they call it, out of St. Peter's. The first person to appear is known as the proto-deacon. As this is where it's important about those three orders. He is a cardinal, he is a cardinal deacon, and he is the first in the order of cardinal deacons, hence the proto-deacon. Nobody knows who he is. Everybody knows who he is if you want to look him up, but no one's ever heard of him before, because his really only job, and most important job, is he gets to announce the name of the new pope. That's the one you want to be there for, because he'll come out on the loggia, and St. Peter's Square will be full, because everybody is racing to the Vatican as soon as they hear the bells, and he will make the announcement. He will say in Latin, Annuntio vobis gaudium magnum, I announce to you a great joy, habemus papam, we have a pope. And then he will announce the name of the person who was elected. And he'll say it in Latin, and if you're really good, you can catch the first name, like Joseph, for Joseph Ratzinger, and then eventually he gets to Ratzinger, and he'll announce what he will be called, like Benedict XVI, and then a couple minutes after that, the new pope will come out, and he'll give his first blessing. So you want to be able to watch, and the blessing is good even on TV. You can make the sign of the cross and receive the blessing of the Holy Father as he gives his first blessing. And from that point, the Pope will have probably a massive installation, if he's elected this week, probably next Sunday, or even on the Solemnity of St. Joseph on the 19th. But all indications seem to be that we will have a Pope by next weekend, because modern conclaves, because we vote four times a day, tend to only go a couple days. So the most important thing that we can do over these next couple days, other than stick by our TV, is to really pray for our cardinals. Although the conclave is probably the best system we've ever had in recent years, it's really the Holy Spirit that will help the cardinals to choose the Pope. And so we, right here in Kansas, can really assist the cardinals through our prayers. Come to Mass on Tuesday, be praying throughout the day for the cardinals as they vote. It's a beautiful time for our church too. The 266th Pope, think about that is amazing. Cardinal George, when he was at the last conclave, and the Pope comes out and Benedict is there waving, and all the cardinals are standing out there, Cardinal George was caught on TV, and he was kind of standing there, and he was just, all the other cardinals are going crazy, and he's just looking out, and people asked him later, Cardinal George, what were you looking at? You seem so, like, pensive and reflective. And he said, you know, I was looking out over the whole city of Rome that you can see there. And he says, you know, there's the Colosseum, and there's the Palatine Hill where the emperors lived. And, you know, he thought, where's the successor of Julius Caesar today? Where's the successor of Marcus Aurelius? Where's the successor of all these incredibly powerful people from history? They're gone. But if you want to know where the successor of St. Peter is, he's standing right there, smiling and waving. That's what we have to look forward to this week. It is a great week for the church. I pray that you will participate with your prayers, maybe even try to watch on TV and get the first blessing of the Pope. In case you've got your pool going, know that it's been since 1378 that a non-cardinal was elected. So in all likelihood, Monsignor and I will still be here next weekend. Although it is possible for a non-cardinal to be elected, it's likely that it'll be one of the guys in the conclave. So certainly pray for that. Whoever it is that the Holy Spirit chooses for us, we pray that indeed the cardinals would be open to that. And come this time next week, we will truly have great cause to Laetare to rejoice in the election of a new Holy Father.